Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Ford, and my guest today is Peter Cookson. And Dr. Cookson is going to talk about Donald Trump contracting COVID-19. So you, like me, like everybody else in this country, you know, we watch TV and we looked at it with such kind of disbelief and, you know, the fact that, you know, I think Trump set himself up because he didn't wear a mask to contract COVID-19. How do you feel?
Oh, absolutely. The literature is out there. He has very good people around him who understand how viruses behave and who have explained to us, the citizens of this country, how best to protect ourselves. I'm confident that they shared this information with our leader, and he chose to ignore it, and he did so at his own peril. The fact that he contracted the virus is not a surprise at all. This virus is designed by its own genetic material to facilitate transmission from one host to another. And it did exactly what it's programmed to do, which is to spread and to transfer from one to another. And I have seen on the television numerous reports recently about the opportunities that were given to this virus to spread among the persons who live in and around Washington, D.C., and are responsible for looking after the health and well-being of the citizens of this country. And the virus said, oh, goody, look at that. There's a group of people who are not protecting themselves. So I will spread very quickly among them. I know exactly how to do that. And it did that. I have been doing a considerable amount of study over the course of the last couple of weeks or so just to help myself understand the behavior of viruses. And what among the factors that came to mind is that the viruses have been on the planet for billions of years, billions of years. And you know, to try to understand how long a period of time that is beyond my comprehension, but it's certainly far in excess of the time that the humans have been on that planet. Over the course of those billions of years, the viruses have grown, multiplied, changed, and have developed a variety of mechanisms that facilitate their growth and development and spreading. They need a host to thrive and survive. So any time that a host, for instance, a plant or a fish or a bird or a mammal or a lizard would come along, the virus would attempt to infect that creature. And those creatures, over a period of time, developed mechanisms to ward off or fight the infection that the virus would present, or the risk that the virus would present to that organism. And then the virus would respond by mutating in ways that would enable it to circumvent whatever means the plants, fish, lizards, what have you, had developed over a period of thousands and millions of years. And, pardon me, this information was then stored by means that are difficult for me to understand. They're so complicated that would enable the virus to adapt to infect and live in plants and other creatures in ways that would enable it to thrive, multiply, and spread. So when it came along, mammals came along, it was just a simple matter for the virus just to adapt to the complicated, otherwise complicated mechanisms that we call the immune system. The immune systems in humans is not unique to humans. That is, the complexity of the immune system in humans is reflects an evolutionary progress from lower or quote-unquote lower animals, less complex animals. And I use that very loosely because animals are incredibly complex, as are plants. We just don't understand how complex they are. When you study them, even with the limited knowledge that we have, I just shake my head and say, my goodness gracious, they are so complicated. That's how they survive. Anyhow, when humans came along and viruses said, oh, there's another host that we can live in, but these humans have thus and such an immune system, let's go hide inside their immune cells, or let's go hide inside their lung cells. And if they choose to do that, then we have a different name for them. And then the other mechanism that they have used is that to fool the immune system into getting confused with regard to who's really the bad actor out there. And that mechanism we call mutations. And when they mutate, then the immune system says, I haven't seen this one before. This is a new one. So we have to go through the entire process of developing an immune reaction, both cellular as well as hormonal. And I read antibodies for hormonal. So what... during that period, that takes time, and during that period of time, the virus is free to multiply in the cells of the host. And by the time the host gets around to responding to the initial invasion of the virus has had plenty of time to mutate three or four times. And so the host just can't deal with three or four new mutations, and in some cases, the host becomes overwhelmed and dies. In other cases, the virus moves on. I don't know, you know, what else there is. But sometimes the virus just doesn't kill the host, and other times it kills the host. So, don't know what. Yes, dear.
When I was watching the TV, when President Trump introduced his nominee for the Supreme Court,
yes.
Well, the audience was packed with, you know, all the supporters, and
yes.
They were sitting so close to one another. None of them were wearing masks. They were face-to-face talking to each other. No social distancing, nothing. And I thought, wow, that is, you know, a recipe for disaster. And then when, you know, they said on the TV that Trump had contracted COVID, and then a number of, you know, West Wing people and White House people, it was unfathomable, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that people who are supposed to know better didn't. And, you know, that reminds me, that reminds me of listening to what happened in 1919 with the president, Wilson, and he contracted the Spanish flu, and he developed, you know, a stroke. He had a stroke because of it. And given the fact that Trump is not the most healthiest person going, he's overweight, he doesn't exercise, he doesn't eat right, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. And I'm sure he's put his staff and members in the White House in a perilous situation. What do you think?
Pardon me. very definitely. The Rose Garden parade, charade, whatever. Anyhow, introduction of our potential new Supreme Court justice was a failure of leadership on the part of of the Supreme Leader. Had the Supreme Leader paid attention to the good people who he has asked him to advise him appropriately regarding measures to be taken to protect the citizens of this country, had he followed their advice, no such event would have ever occurred, or had it occurred, those persons who were invited, who would have been invited to attend that, would have been told that they were required to wear masks. Some may perhaps even been told to wear face shields and to sit an appropriate distance from one another so that it would reduce significantly the risk of passing the virus along. That did not occur because there was a failure on the part of leadership to give that direction to those who orchestrated and organized that meeting. That is, set up the chairs 6 feet apart, make sure that nobody gets in here unless they're wearing a mask, and there won't be any handshaking, and there won't be any glad-handing subsequently when the announcements have taken place. Everyone will go their separate ways, and we will all be fine. But that's a leadership failure. Pardon me. You suggested another area that is important to take into consideration, and that is the health of our leader, President Trump. You suggested that he may not be in the best of health. I would not challenge that. I would happen to agree with that. I have heard reports that he is overweight. Some of them say 20 or more pounds, and others say he's obese. Whatever term you want to use brings up a very important topic that has to do with the citizens of this country, many of whom are at greater risk for contracting the coronavirus, and when they do indeed contract it, deal with it much more poorly than those who are not malnourished. It is my opinion that one of the manifestations of poor nutrition is obesity. And the mechanism for that has to do with the signals that the brain and the pancreas through the insulin set up to tell us that we've had enough to eat or that we need to eat some more. Those persons who have access to substandard food then eat more than they need, and they get overweight. And this overweight clearly interferes with the immune system's response to a challenge. And pardon me, one of the risk factors that those persons, the virologists, tell us about is obesity. They say that obesity is a risk factor for coronavirus, and not necessarily so much a coronavirus contraction, but the response of the body's immune system to the coronavirus is impaired in those individuals who are obese. So if you are overweight, if you are obese, then in most cases, I would say that those persons who find themselves in that situation are not bad people. They're not stupid people. They are people who have been deprived of good nutritional choices. And Mr. Trump has made nutritional choices that have placed him at risk for complications of the coronavirus. And I fear for his life, for his health, good health, and I hope that those persons who are responsible for advising him will make it clear to him that dietary changes are important for his sense of for his health. And I don't think anybody would challenge that. You brought up another point, which I think is important, and that is, how did this happen? And there are people who talked about that issue this morning. It's my opinion that Mr. Trump is a powerful personality who intimidates those around him. And it's possible that the physicians who are responsible for his care are intimidated by him and want very much to continue in their role as the White House physicians, which is an extremely prestigious position in the medical community. And if they were to challenge Mr. Trump and say, no, you're not ready to go home, some of your decisions are being made on the basis of steroids that we gave you to help you deal with this infection, and you can't rely on decisions made by people whose decision-making brain has been addled by medications, in this case, steroids. I have taken steroids myself for one day after I had a back operation, a spinal cord operation, and I can tell you, it does mess with your head, no question about it. And I told the surgeon that the next day. I said, you can stop that now. I'll be just fine. And he laughed, and we both laughed at one another because we knew exactly what I was talking about. And he stopped them, and it took a couple days for me to get over the intoxicating effects of the steroids. I am confident that the behavior that our leader showed with his drive-by waving, et cetera, and his insistence on early discharge from the hospital were decisions made by someone who was thinking under the influence of drugs. And the drug I'm talking about is dexamethasone. It changes the way you think. There's no question about it. And I believe that the physicians who are well-intentioned were intimidated by his personality and caved into his insistence that he should go home. I hope that everything goes well for Mr. Trump, our good president, but I think he placed himself at risk, and the physicians did not have the courage or intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, no, you're not going home, period. This is a matter of national security, and we're not going to let you go home because you will place yourself and this country at risk if you get sick. Oh, okay. And if you want to pull national security, that's the time to pull it and insist that he take the advice of well-qualified, experienced physicians who know what they're doing and should know, but have simply been intimidated by the powerful personality of the man who is guiding our country.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because, you know, there was the joyride around, you know, the hospital, I believe. I think it was Sunday.
Yeah.
And then his discharge. And it's like, these doctors, why aren't they putting their foot down? And what you told me, I think, is very interesting, that they were more concerned in the positions and their jobs than they were in taking care of the President of the United States. Am I wrong?
That's an interpretation that I made. And that's up for grabs or challenge or what have you, certainly. I have been in that club and no longer play in that sandbox for any number of reasons. But, excuse me, some of the individuals who are our physicians have other interests than the best interests of the patients sometimes at heart. And they may have been confused by the powerful personality of the president and had forgotten how powerful or what an effect the high doses of steroids may have on the decision-making process. Or they just caved into to his demands. And I would believe that that's certainly something to be considered on the list of why the heck did they allow him to do that? Which is a reasonable question to ask.
Right. The steroids thing really intrigues me because when I had chemo treatments, after each chemo treatment, I was prescribed steroids, and it did a number on me. And, given the fact that the President of the United States has his finger on the trigger, that is so frightening that he's taking steroids. His thinking process might be altered. We're in a really perilous time, I believe.
I agree. I agree. And, there's lots of places to point the finger. And not only to our leader, but to those persons into whose hands he entrusted his health. And I would fault them for not standing up and saying, no, this is a matter of national security. You need to stay here under our guidance and care. And there are provisions made in the Constitution for alternate deciders or alternate means to conduct the business of the country while you are incapacitated or impaired as a result of the medical therapy. They chose not to do that, and I don't know why, but I offered a suggestion, and you can run with that, or you can disagree with that, however you like. But that's my take on it, having known many of the practitioners in that field. That's what I concluded, and I regret that they did not insist on the importance of national security in this particular case. Certainly, national security issue is brought up in many other cases that I would take exception to, but in this case, this was a good example of failure to insist on the importance of national security measures to guard and guide our president.
Given the fact that the president is on really heavy-duty medication, do you think he's much sicker than we might realize?
That's a reasonable consideration. And when I saw the list of medications that they had him on, I have seen that sort of thing done by physicians who are confronted with a very, very sick patient. And essentially that's, quote, pull out all the stops, pull out all the guns or what have you, and throw them at the problem with the hope that at least one of them will hit the target. I have seen that. So if you want to conclude on the basis of the fact that they used all of their guns, with the exception of it'll come to me, the drug for malaria, suggests that they were aware that this man was very sick when he presented to them at Walter Reed. So the answer to your question is, I think he's a lot sicker than the mainstream media has allowed us to become aware of. I can't prove that, but certainly the way the physicians behave suggests very strongly that they were confronted with a very seriously ill patient. Go ahead, dear.
This might seem, maybe it's not a reasonable question, because we were not alive in 1919. Do you think he might be as sick as Woodrow Wilson was before he had the stroke?
Yes, very definitely.
Really?
Before, one of the factors or one of the phenomena that occurred in patients who were infected by the influenza virus of 1918-19 was central nervous system disturbances. They went crazy. And that was clearly an an affliction or a phenomenon that occurred to Wilson. And that's well described by his closest associate, Colonel House, who said, "Oh, my goodness gracious." And they didn't understand what was going on because they hadn't had experience with an influenza virus that attacked the central nervous system. We have had some experience with that with the SARS virus, SARS-1, that broke out in Southeast Asia and Hong Kong back in 2000 to 2003. I myself was infected with that particular virus and experienced the central nervous system disturbances as a result. I lost a sense of taste and smell and became very
wow.
That was 18 years ago, and I didn't understand what was going on. There was no literature for me to refer to or to understand what was going on. I also got extremely dizzy. Pardon me. All those symptoms gradually went away by themselves, and I recovered. When I got COVID-2 this time, I experienced similar symptoms, very minimal loss of taste and smell, but primarily loss of balance. And one of the peculiar things that happened was I kept biting my tongue and my lip and my cheek. And I couldn't figure out what the devil was going on. Every time I would chew, I'd bite something inside me. And no one else had ever reported that. And when I went to the dentist a week or so ago and I reported that to him, he had never heard of that either. And then when I looked in my book, it said, "Oh, yeah, you need to know where your tongue is before you bite down. Because if you don't, if your brain doesn't know where the tongue is, you're going to bite it." Oh, okay. That makes sense. And that's what was happening to me. But I have been self-medicating with herbal remedies, and the herbal remedies have taken care of almost all of the symptoms at all.
Well,
it's just,
Peter,
what's that?
Our time is up for today.
Oh, okay.
So I would like to continue this conversation. I think it's an important conversation, and I think that this is something that's not going to go away tomorrow. Would you come back on All Exits Closed?
Sure, you bet. Yeah, just give me a date and a time, and I'll be with you. And I hope we'll have additional information then. Okay, right.
Okay.
So I'm going to hang up, and then you call back and let me know what your schedule looks like.
Okay. So you've been listening to Dr. Peter Cookson on All Exits Closed, and he's been talking about Donald Trump. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Bye. I'll hang up. Or did you want to talk about the next show? Oh.